How much of it is ours? Our ratepayers? I forget.
North Dakota's like about 15 million.
That's what I was thinking.
Total up interest, it's anywhere.
Okay, we're back on the record after a short recess. It's about 10:25. And Mr. Gruen, would you call your next witness, please?
Staff calls Dean Mullins.
Mr. Mowes, did you hear the admonition I gave earlier in regard to perjury?
I did.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Gruen, please.
Where are you employed, Mr. Mowes?
North Dakota Public Service Commission.
What's your title with the North Dakota Public Service Commission?
I am the Assistant Director for the Reclamation Division.
How long have you been employed with the North Dakota Public Service Commission?
22 years.
And how long have you been Assistant Director of Reclamation?
The past six.
What's your educational background?
I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Soil Science from North Dakota State University.
Do you have any professional licenses?
I do.
And what are they?
I am a Registered Professional Soil Classifier with the State of North Dakota.
What are your present duties with the North Dakota Public Service Commission?
As Assistant Director, I assist the Director in matters relating to permitting, inspection, enforcement, and administrative duties.
You testify that you've been the Assistant Director of Reclamation since 2006. What were your duties with the Commission prior to 2006?
I was an environmental scientist.
What were your duties as environmental scientist?
Permit reviews, inspection, enforcement.
Concerning inspections, approximately how many inspections have you completed during the course of your career?
About 750.
How many of those inspections concern the issues of water management?
The vast majority of them, water management is the one universal inspectable element to nearly all our inspections.
And again, could you please define water management for mining purposes?
Water management is, as it relates to mining and reclamation, is ensuring that all surface runoff is routed through either a pond or best management practice to meet the required effluent standards.
Are you familiar with the Freedom Mine?
Yes, I am.
And how so?
I was a principal inspector there from when I started to about 2003.
Mr. Moe was proceeding to September 30th, 2010. Were you at the Freedom Mine?
Yes, I was.
And why?
Mike Berg was on an inspection on September 29th and had come back and had shown us photos of an area of sediment deposition and wanted a second opinion from us, and he met with myself and Jim Deitch, and we decided that it deserved a second look, and the two of us should go up there.
Please continue. What happened next?
We went up to the mine, and we met Joe Friedlander from Coteau and Terrence Schmidt, and we proceeded out to at the office there and just told them why we were there and then proceeded out to the field.
And what happened next?
We went out to the area of concern, and we parked on the south side of the haul road.
And maybe just for clarification, since PSC staff Exhibit 1 is still up on the smart board there, Errol, when you say area of concern, could you please just point out?
It's the area, again, the haul road culvert is right in this area.
You need to describe it a little bit more for the record, please.
It's, again, near the intersection of permits 8102 and 8203 and the haul road near the center of Section 16.
Thank you.
And primarily where the culvert was in about that same location.
Thank you, Mr. Mowes. You testified that you proceeded to that location you just indicated on September 30th, 2010. Upon arrival, what happened next?
We parked on the south side. There's easier access on the south side, and we went down to the area of sediment accumulation on the south side of the haul road at the culvert outlet.
What did you observe?
An area of sediment accumulation.
Okay. What happened next?
We checked the area out. It's area of sediment accumulation it wasn't on respread topsoil or subsoil, but an area that channel was left open for water management purposes. And, we ascertained that the sediment wasn't from the south side of the haul road. There was no evidence of erosion. There was concrete matting on the sides of the the ditch bottom leading down to the culvert, and there was no sediment deposition within that concrete matting. So obviously the sediment was coming from some other location.
What happened next?
We proceeded to the north side of the haul road, crossed the haul road, and saw the area of sediment accumulation on the north side.
Could you please describe this area of sedimentation?
Sure. They switched.
By all means, whatever you think would be most appropriate. I'm just going to identify it when you get there. What's been displayed is PSC staff exhibit 4. Please proceed with your question or your answer.
This is, although this photo was taken on the 29th, it's the same thing that we saw on the 30th. This was taken from the top of the Hall Road. This would be the inslope of the Hall Road ditch right here. We're standing on the Hall Road.
The lower portion of the exhibit.
The lower portion of the exhibit, right. And then the area in here is area sediment accumulation. And this vegetation line here is the respread edge. This is reclaimed land behind here. And again, we can see the sediment and the sediment accumulation extended out into the topsoil respread area here. So there's a stock pen located to the northwest. There you can see the stock pen, and the natural drainage is down through this through the center portion to the culvert. Culvert location is about right here. You know, you cannot see it.
Stock pen at the far north of the exhibit.
Correct.
Mr. Mose, you were here during Mr. Berg's testimony. Mr. Berg had testified that the area of sedimentation was approximately 20 to 100 square feet and 48 inches thick. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would.
Now, based upon that and the other observations that you've testified to today, what did that area of sedimentation indicate to you?
Well, it was a large area of sedimentation, and obviously the sediment came from somewhere, and I think our next objective was to determine where that sediment had come from and what was the source of the sediment.
And did you continue that analysis on that day in question?
Yes, I did. I proceeded to walk up the drainage. What did I do here, Scott?
Okay.
Anyway, I proceeded to walk up the drainage to the stock pond to see if there was any erosion in there, and there was no apparent erosion in there that I could see.
And if I could just stop you there, when you say no apparent erosion, so the area of sedimentation that we're looking at, how would any sediment coming from the stock pond, how would that contribute to that size, in your opinion?
There would have been some significant erosion, considering the amount of sediment that was in the Hall Road ditch here, and it was apparent that there was no erosion up here that would be contributing that amount of sediment.
Thank you. What happened next?
One thing I noted when I was out there was the high water line, and you can see it here in the photo. You can tell that there was, from that September 9th event, water ponding in this area.
You have to describe it, I think, Mr. Moles, where the high water line is on there.
You can see the difference in the vegetation. It's hard to show, give a reference to it, but you can see where the vegetation, there's somewhat of a change there. There's a strand line of debris that's
off to the left and right of the
left, and the right side is not as readily apparent, but it is there.
Thank you. What happened next?
Still looking for a source for the sediment, and then we looked to the Hall Road ditches. And
please continue. What did you observe in that regard?
Switch the slides here.
By all means. I'm just going to, when you're done, are you? What's been displayed is PSC staff exhibit 5. Please continue with your testimony.
Again, this is standing about at the culvert, and again, you can see the area sediment accumulation in the foreground here. And you can see the gully that is formed going up to the southwest here. The Hall Road, this is the Hall Road embankment on the far left side of the photo, and this is the topsoil respread edge again coming down. And here's the gully that is formed going to the southwest. And this drains down to the culvert and through the culvert, and then switch slides again.
Oh, by all means. PSC staff exhibit 6, what does this indicate?
And this is going to the northeast. Again, the culvert would be off the screen here, but again, the start of the sediment accumulation here and erosion continuing up the Hall Road ditch. The Hall Road embankment on the right side of the photo and the respread edge on the left-hand side of the photo.
Now, for clarification, you had testified concerning a gully. Could you please describe that gully to the commission?
The gully extending to the northeast was approximately 750 feet long, and going to the southwest was approximately 450 feet, and it ranged in width from 6 to 18 inches and 6 to 24 inches deep. It varied throughout the course of the depth and the width, but those are just some range of width and depth.
Now, just for clarification, when you testify 450 feet southwest and 750 feet northeast, that's from a point, and would that be the intersection of 8102, 8203 in the Hall Road?
Actually, from the culvert, which is about at that location.
Thank you. Mr. Mose, what type of material eroded from the gully?
Spoil or overburden. The Hall Road was constructed of overburden materials, and therefore the ditch would be the same material.
Now, in your testimony, you indicated that you observed a pile of sedimentation. Was that sedimentation analyzed?
Yes, it was.
Please continue.
If I could go back to...
By all means, I'm just going to, I'll just identify it. What's been marked as PSC staff exhibit 4? Please continue.
We did sample the sediment in two locations. We did not sample on the in the ditch bottom itself, but we went out into the topsoil respread area. We went about, the first sample was collected about 3 feet north of this respread edge, and the second sample was collected about 15 feet north of that respread edge.
Now, I'll come back to September 30th, but just since we're on the subject of samples, once you received that sample, what did you do next with it?
It was taken to Minnesota Valley Testing Lab for a standard soil overburden analysis.
Did you receive a conclusion as part of that analysis?
Yes, we did.
And what was the conclusion?
It was somewhat surprising. I guess it was the sediment sample came back as a topsoil, almost topsoil quality. It was similar to topsoil quality, and that was somewhat surprising to us.
Please expand upon that. Why was it surprising to you?
Well, we were expecting to have the overburden qualities. It was, you know, a very good quality material, and I think there's several reasons for that.
If you would like to expand, or...
There was a lot of vegetation debris matter in the sediment, and that contributes to organic matter. Organic matter is what makes topsoil topsoil. It's that why our topsoils are nice dark color. And when you have vegetative matter in it, we made an effort to segregate out the obvious, but there's a lot of debris in there. And also, it's next to a haul road. There's haul road dust fines that settled out in this area, and that, again, that's organic matter, and that contributes to high organic matter. So I the only conclusion I can come to, if I could go to one more slide.
Please do. It's been marked as PSC staff exhibit 6. Please continue.
The sediment was extremely wet when we were out there, super saturated. This is an area where, though it had dried, sorry, Scott. An area here where sediment had started to dry, I can see it had the light color of it, and that certainly isn't topsoil. It's a lighter color. It's starting to dry and has the light color. In fact, the samples and then the edge of the bag, like I said, it was literally so wet we poured the sediment into the bag, and it dried almost a light gray or almost a white color.
So now, proceeding back to your analysis and your observations of September 30th, 2010, what other observations did you make? Or more specifically, you testified concerning a ditch and a gully.
The ditch and the gully and to the amount of cover, the vegetative cover that was in the ditch.
Is there a slide you would like to utilize in that regard? Please proceed to wherever you feel relevant. What's been marked as PSC staff exhibit 8. Please continue.
Again, here, a picture of the ditch bottom. Again, the haul road off to the haul road embankment off to the right side here. And the
you mean the left side, don't you?
The left side.
Left side,
I'm sorry.
And right side, okay.
Please continue, or maybe perhaps you're finished.
And anyway, the ditch, this is the ditch bottom. The water is running down from the top to the bottom. Here's the ditch bottom, the vegetation that is in the ditch bottom. You can see the drill rows here. On the side slope here, there's barren areas there. There's areas that have relatively good cover, but then there is barren areas within there.
Now, looking at PSC staff exhibit 8, that sparsity of vegetative cover, what effect would that have upon erosion control?
It would certainly contribute to it. It's probably not adequate to control erosion.
Would not adequately mitigate erosion, would
right.
that be correct? Was there a is there any vegetative cover within the gullies?
The gully itself was barren.
What effect would that have upon erosion control?
Well, it certainly would contribute to it. There would be nothing to slow the water.
Mr. Mose, are you familiar with North Dakota Administrative Code 69-05.2-16-08, parent 1?
I am.
And are you familiar with North Dakota Administrative Code 69-05.2-24-01, subdivision 2, parent A?
I am.
Did Coteau make any efforts in regard to these two administrative codes?
Other than the seeding and the mulching of the area, it was mulched when the Hall Road was constructed in 2009 and seeded. And that was the only erosion control that was in place in this section of the Hall Road.
So is it your opinion, in there, did those efforts, did Coteau meet their obligations in regards to those two administrative codes that just indicated?
I think in this area they did not. They were not sufficient otherwise.
Please explain.
We wouldn't have the erosion that we're seeing here. It's a relatively long slope, steep slope, and they were not sufficient to. And in addition, we're in an area of overburden here. It's constructed out of overburden, not the best material for growing the vegetative cover that's needed to control erosion in an area like this.
Just expanding upon, you testified about steep slope. And in this, which direction are we facing in this photograph?
Here we're facing to the southwest.
Yet NOV 1004, of course, was issued concerning a good portion of the whole ditch in question. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So also east of the culvert, is that correct?
That's correct.
How would, just a differentiating, of course, we've got your testimony concerning this side of the culvert. How about the other side? How would the slope affect that side?
Again, it's a similar slope there. A long slope, and actually even a little longer in that side.
Expanding upon your testimony concerning whether or not Coteau had met their obligations concerning the two administrative codes, what additional efforts should Coteau have done?
I think there are a number of things that could have been done. Silt fences, erosion control, matting and fabric, the concrete matting that was used somewhere on the south side, rock check dams, just a number of things that could have been used in conjunction with the vegetative cover.
And why were those necessary?
Just to slow the water, protect the surface.
Now, there's been testimony before that indicates that NOV 1004 concerns only the north side of the Hall Road ditch, not the south. Why the north and not the south?
Well, there wasn't a problem on the south side. There was management practice taken there. The concrete matting was in place. There was no erosion there.
And expanding upon that, you indicated silt fences and rock check dams, erosion control fabric were necessary on the north. Why not all of those specific technologies on the south side? If you could expand upon that further.
Again, if I could go back to one of the exhibits.
Please do. It's been marked as a PSC staff exhibit 2A.
This exhibit shows the flow of water in this area. There's water on the north side, that's again the brown line through the center of section 18 is the Hall Road, and of course the North Hall Road ditch. We have water flowing into the ditch on the north side. There's a portion of this area that flows into this, the ditch on the south, to the southwest of the culverts. On the south side, the water is flowing away from the Hall Road ditch. So basically all the south side water that's flowing there is the water that's coming off the Hall Road itself. The adjacent area is flowing away from that Hall Road ditch, whereas on the north side, you have water flowing into it.
Are there any extenuating circumstances that you're aware of that would absolve Coteau of NOV 1004?
No.
Mr. Mose, you testified that you observed a gully. In your opinion, how long did that gully exist when the North Hall Road ditch?
I think
I'm going to object to that. He's speculating. He has no proof.
I still think we need some basis for it.
Have you formed an opinion in that regard as far as whether it's more probable than not?
I'm going to object. He's testifying as a fact witness.
Opinion testimony can be offered by an expert, Your Honor.
You may proceed. I'll overrule. You may proceed.
Can you rephrase the question?
Certainly. Well, I think there's been a request for some foundation in regard to your opinion. So clearly you reached a conclusion, what would you substantiate that conclusion upon?
That the erosion was there prior to...
Yeah, well, I think in this situation, what the question specifically was is how long was that gully there?
There was sediment. The sediment on the south side of the road was there September 2nd, as Mike had observed on his September 2nd inspection. So I don't think the source of the sediment has changed from September 2nd to the 29th. There's probably additional sediment there on the 29th and from the 2nd following the September 9th storm, but there was sediment clearly there on the 2nd already. So.
And based upon those observations, do you have an opinion to offer whether it was more probable or not than that gully existed, say, September 2nd, 2010?
Your Honor, I think we need a clarification. Are we talking north side or south side here? He just said that there was sediment present, but he was apparently referring to the north side, but we have nothing to show that or prove that.
I think we do need some clarification, Mr.
Certainly,
Groom, what side you're talking about.
I'll expand upon the record. When you were talking about sediment, were you talking about the north side or the south side?
I was referring to the south side.
And when I'm talking about the gully, is that on the north side or the south side?
The north side.
Now, from my understanding, you testified that you noticed the sedimentation that was observed on September 2nd, or you heard today testimony concerning the sediment that was observed on the south side on September 2nd. In your opinion, is it more probable or not that gully existed on September 2nd?
Again, I'm going to state my objection to this question.
I'll overrule. I think it's a basis now. You may respond.
It's very probable that it was there on the 2nd.
Thank you. There's been some testimony today concerning sedimentation on the north and the south side of the culvert. Do you have an opinion as far as whether it was more probable or not that the lack of BMPs contributed to the size of that sedimentation?
I do.
Could you please provide some foundation in that regard? Obviously, you have a conclusion. What would you base that conclusion upon?
Well, the effectiveness of the BMPs, if there had been additional BMPs, they would flow the water, trap more sediment upstream.
Again, I'm going to object. It's pure speculation what would have happened during those rainfalls.
Again, just what's a BMP again for the record?
Best management practice.
Okay. And what's your objection, Mr. Biela?
Well, he's speculating as to what would have happened. I mean, heaven only knows what would have happened. I think it's just pure conjecture and not relevant and objectionable.
Again, he's an expert. He can offer his opinion. I believe he's provided adequate foundation, I think.
I'll overrule. You can respond.
Thank you.
Can you restate the question again?
Certainly. I believe you provided enough foundation, so I guess I'll just, as a segue, do you have an opinion whether it was more probable than not that the size of the sedimentation piles were affected by the lack of best management practices that you observed on the result of Coteau?
Yeah, I would say that without the BMPs, the best management practices in place, that the monosediment deposition would be greater than had they been in place.
In summary, why was NOB 1004 issued?
For erosion from the Hall Road ditch and resulting sedimentation.
Mr. Mose, staff has recommended a penalty of $1,500 for NOB 1004. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Could you please just summarize the protocols associated with arriving at that amount?
There's four factors that we consider in assessing penalty: the history of violations, the seriousness of the violation, negligence associated with the violation, and lastly, good faith. There's a deduction. It can be a deduction for good faith.
And just expanding, if you will, upon each of those factors and how their applicability to this matter. Thank you.
On history, nothing was assessed. This is only the second violation that Coteau has received in the last 3 years, and we do not consider history of violations until after the third violation within a three-year time period. Seriousness. There was erosion, there was sedimentation, so we did assess $250 for seriousness. Negligence, we assessed $1,250 for the fact that there was no best management practices instituted on the north side of the Hall Road. It wasn't willful, it wasn't willful neglect, but it wasn't neglect nonetheless. And then lastly, for good faith, we did not deduct anything for good faith in that the compliance in this case was normal and what would have been expected.
Are those four factors, are those what I referred to earlier in 38, 14.1, 32?
I believe.
Mr. Gruen.
Thank you, Your Honor. Is there anything further you'd like to add to advise the commission today?
No, I don't believe so.
I have no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Gruen. Mr. Biella, please.
Mr. Moles, just to clarify, with respect to this north ditch, you have no evidence of any kind which demonstrates how that ditch looked on September 2nd. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, you've also talked about sediment and sediment deposition on the south side. Now, isn't it very conceivable that the sediment that exists on the south side came before the concrete mats were placed in there by Coteau?
I think if we go back to the one slide, it's over the edge of the...
We're on Exhibit 3 now.
I'm sorry, Exhibit 3 here. And you see there is sediment on the edge of the concrete mat, indicating that the concrete mat was in place when that sediment was on there.
I think somebody asked this earlier, but is the concrete mat underneath that sediment? Is there?
I don't believe so. But it's a big
difference. So it's been displaced,
I think,
or?
I think it's an open channel under there.
Before September 2nd and after.
My recollection.
So some of that sediment could have occurred before. Some of it could have occurred before.
Before September 2nd.
Yeah. Some of it could have.
So I think you're saying that the very left edge of that looks like it's overflowing onto the square concrete mat that's there. Okay. Okay.
You testified as to the topsoil report that you had prepared. And you indicated it was topsoil quality. Isn't that a strong indication that that didn't come from the ditch?
You could make that inference that it's not from the ditch, but I mean, there was going.
Exhibit 4.
And going up that drainage, I mean, there was no other erosion, no other sedimentation up this direction, going up towards the stock pond. The flow is coming down through this channel. Like I said, I was surprised at the quality of the material, that it was topsoil quality. There's a number of methods that they can use. They're very expensive, where they can burn off true organic carbon, the vegetative matter that's in there. There's a lot of debris, plant debris in the sediment. They can burn that off. It's an expensive process. In hindsight, we probably shouldn't have that done. The coal fines, that's, you have to live with the coal fines. Like I say, it is next to the haul road. There's fines that come off the trucks and windblown material, and that could have contributed to.
As far as the watershed goes, I believe this watershed is approximately 350 acres. Is that correct?
I believe so.
And when you did your inspection on the 30th, you just inspected a small portion of that watershed.
That's right.
And the topsoil quality of your soil tests is certainly indicative that some of that sediment could have very well have come from that entire watershed. Is that correct?
There's a certain possibility that there would have been what's called sheet erosion, from some of the reclaimed areas above it. But there's a lot of sediment there, and to attribute that all to sheet erosion. And sheet erosion is just removing a very fine layer across a large area. It'd be hard to draw the conclusion that it was all from sheet erosion.
And the erosion that exists that you show on one of your photos on the south side, it's very likely that at least a portion of that erosion, if not a substantial portion, came from the south side ditch. Wouldn't that be correct?
I very little of it.
Prior to September 2nd.
Prior to September 2nd?
I don't have a record of what was there prior to September 2nd.
Okay. But the concrete mats, were they not placed to control erosion on the south side? And are you aware of the PSC regulation of the 10-year, 6-hour precipitation event design standard for designing of haul roads?
I am.
I have no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bello. Commissioner Kramer, please.
Just a couple of things, Dean. First of all, you testified that you don't know of any extenuating circumstances that would absolve control of the NOV, but what would an extenuating circumstance be if there was one, just so I have some
basis? I would say
basis.
Certainly the rainfall of September 9th, it was a large event, and but I guess notwithstanding that, there was no BMP, best management practices, in place in this haul road ditch at that time, and we can speculate all we want whether if they were there or would they have been effective there on after that rainfall event. There were, like as Mike testified, there were BMPs in place at other sections of Hall Road and did fail, but we did not write the violation.
Sure. So if there had been a bunch of plastic from silt fences and straw matter piled up with the sediment, that at least you'd have known they tried. And what is the BMP standard? I mean, who determines what that is at any given time? Is that a moving target as technology advances?
It's not an established what works in one area may not work in another, and it's oftentimes in combination. You have to use a number of, and that's, I think, the beauty of BMPs. They're not a prescriptive like some of the other engineering practices, but they're more of a field engineered, if you will.
So, you know, the planting of materials to avoid erosion and, you know, the disking in. And I mean, that might be a BMP in a particular area, but it might not be in another area.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So then you testified to the barrenness, I think, or you said, mm-hmm. I think the word barren, I think maybe Mike did as well, of the gully itself. Mm-hmm. But prior to the whatever formed the gully, do you know that it was barren then, or are we assuming it was, or... Sure, please. Yeah, either 6 through 8, somewhere in there, I think we... So Exhibit 8.
You know, like, again, Exhibit 8, and the gully itself is barren. Of course, anything that was there is washed away. But the area adjacent to it, that is barren, so you have to make the inference that...
So you're just making the inference, to use your term, or the assumption that the actual gully itself was probably similar in terms of plant cover to what's next to it, which isn't exactly barren, but it is thin or sparse. Okay. So the event that created the sediment, is it likely that it was the same event that created this gully, or would that gully have been, in your opinion, based on your observations and your expertise, would that gully have been there prior to that event?
I think it was probably over time it developed, and you know, certainly on September 9th that contributed to it, probably contributed significantly to it, but it was over time, throughout the summer, I'm guessing.
Sure. Okay, I have nothing further. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Clark, please.
Just a couple. You had mentioned a previous violation. What was that related to?
There was one earlier, at Coteau.
At Coteau.
There was one earlier this year for lack of an energy dissipator on a pond discharge.
Okay. Would the erosion in that north ditch alone, would that be enough to trigger a possible violation, issuance of a violation by staff?
The erosion?
Right. I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, as I understand staff's case, it's a combination of the erosion that happened and then the resulting sedimentation that ended up on reclaimed land. If you just had a situation like this where, let's say that you didn't have a lot of visible sedimentation on reclaimed land, but you had major erosion going on in a, I'm terming it major, but you had some level of significant erosion going on in a haul road ditch. Would something like this potentially be enough for a violation if you didn't feel that best practices had been followed?
I think if you look the way the NOV is written, it we're really emphasizing the erosion, not so much the sedimentation, but more the erosion.
But again, to my question, is there any requirement, as you understand it, in the code, that it has to be a combination of both erosion and sedimentation on reclaimed land, or another?
It refers to both erosion and sediment, or siltation, as the code refers to it.
Okay, but do they have to be in combination to issue the notice of violation, or can they be separate?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Well, I would just refer you to the rules. The two rules are written differently in that regard. There's two separate rules that are alleged. They're written a little bit differently.
Be sure to review that closely. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Commissioner Cock, please.
Hey, Dean, thank you for your testimony. You were talking elevation earlier. Give me again the drop in elevation, if you will, from, let's take Exhibit 8, the top to the bottom, the sediment pile. Your best guess from a walk in the ground.
Contour lines in here.
On Exhibit 2A.
I didn't look that up. But it's about, I'm a soil scientist, so I put everything in 3% grade increments.
That's what I was thinking.
I estimated it to be a 3% to 6% grade.
Okay. That's actually helpful. Okay. And then, let's see here. Sample size. How do you determine sample size? Because I appreciate the discussion you had with folks about that. How do you determine that?
They don't need a large sample, and it's just a small bag that is submitted to the lab. And we did offer a split sample to Coteau, which they also.
I guess when I was thinking sample size back to the previous lifetime, you have to determine so many sample points and all that. So it's not so much the volume of the sample; the delineation of this and that and the other thing. Because quite honestly, to me, one sample doesn't mean anything. So how would you?
There was two samples taken, and then we just thought that was representative of the area.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you, commissioners.
Mr. Grumman, any further questions of Mr. Moles?
Just two. One, before it was referred to, as far as what you inspected, and I guess whether it be small, medium, or large, I believe it was referred to as small. The route that you took, you and Mr. Berg, why was that adequate, or why did you take that route? Why did you expand upon that?
As far as
why did you the locations that you went to observe to make essentially to predicate NOV 1004? Why did you just do that?
I guess our purpose was to find the source of the sediment, and we thought we found it in the Hall Road Ditch.
In hindsight, do you feel that you should have made more observations, or
I guess there was no reason to. Like I say, I walked to the stock pan to the northwest. There was no evidence of erosion or deposition in that area, so it's hard to make the conclusion that it came from above that area.
The other question that I had is, before there was a discussion during your cross-examination concerning BMPs, and I believe the exact word was moving target, which perhaps implies an arbitrariness. Is this what we're doing against Coteau right now, is that arbitrary, or is it codified in such a way, i.e. that they did, they knew they knew they did, and they knew they should have done what they should have supposed to. You could please expand upon that.
It is somewhat of a moving target, and like I say, oftentimes it's a combination of factors that are needed, of best management practices that are needed. In this instance, there was the vegetation, there was mulch. Mulch was applied a year ago, when the road was constructed in 2009, and that deteriorates over time and loses some of its effectiveness. And the vegetation itself, like I said, it's seeded into spoil. It's sparse in areas. Most sparse in the ditch bottom where you're channelizing the flow. Therefore, it would seem that additional measures would be needed there.
Put another way, in your opinion, are we unfairly targeting Coteau for this NOV?
No.
And please explain.
The C seeding alone, seeding and mulching alone was not sufficient to control the erosion.
Thank you, Mr. Mose. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Grumman. Just kind of a follow-up on his, but is there any prior approval of BMPs?
Generally not. There's a lot of times the field approved, and they'll make reference that we will install BMPs, and a lot of times they are field approved when we're out on inspections. If you look in the permits, they'll just reference BMPs such as silt fences, erosion control matting, but they're not a very prescriptive application.
Thank you.
You know, I would have a question whenever it gets back to my turn.
Commissioner Call, go ahead.
But that was where I was kind of going with that 3 to 6 grade. I didn't follow it all the way through. But you know, given a 3 to 6 grade, would this type of BMPs be, I mean, if you other grades that have that same, you know, 3 to 6, is this the kind of things you've seen there in your experience?
Right. Well, in this instance, it's probably a little different than a 3 to 6% grade on a gently reclaimed land, because in that there you have soil, and you have infiltration on it. You don't have channelized flow. Here you're channelizing all the flow into that road ditch, and some type of BMP would be needed there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Kramer, please.
Well, I think this is really an important part of all of this in our determination, because that's why I asked earlier about prior to the event, prior to this silting that was obvious, an obvious observation from the road. I mean, is there any reason to imply or that the company could conclude that they've got that they've met the BMP standard by previous inspections or lack of bringing up, and I know it was testified to earlier that without getting out and walking it, you might not know that. I'm just trying to get some context in which, you know, in previous or other situations where maybe the staff has seen inadequate measures.
Okay. Some of the previous inspection reports report some erosion control that was done further upstream of this whole road ditch. Like Mike said, it's a big mine, and it's hard to see everything.
Yep. No, I agree. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Mr. Biel, you have any further questions of this witness?
Dean, would you please look at your exhibit number 8? And can you establish the water flow line in that exhibit?
Mm-hmm. Water is flowing down from the top of the photo to the bottom.
Yeah, but the width of the flow line?
The width? I guess I don't, you know, certainly within the channeled area there, it would flow, you know, within this area. Beyond that, I guess I don't know how much.
Well, isn't it pretty readily apparent that the flow line is between the two stands of tall grass?
This side? Well, this is a respread edge here. This is the whole road embankment. If it was running that deep, it would have been running over onto the reclaim area. Is that what you're...
Well, I guess I'm trying to submit here is that the flow line wasn't just in that narrow little gully there.
By the full depth of that, you mean from the taller grass on both sides?
Right. I mean, this whole road embankment is probably 12 feet high in that area.
Well, is there any evidence that it was running higher into that sparse grass there on the side?
I think before it got this high, it would run over onto the reclaimed land over here. Oh. This is lower on this side, on the right side.
Isn't it indicative that the flow was on the toe of the end slope?
In here? This area? On the toe of the end slope here?
Yeah.
Well, I don't doubt that there was flow into here.
Okay. Now, you talked about this. What is the slope or the degree of slope in this ditch? And you said 3 to 6. Did you conduct a survey to determine that?
Well, I did not, but soils for about 10 years, and our first year is spent ingraining on those slopes, 1 to 3%, 3 to 6, 6 to 9, and that's, you know, just based on professional judgment.
But again, you're speculating, especially on 4, 5, and 6%. You're just speculating on that, right?
With a degree of professional judgment.
And the lab analysis which you had conducted, which indicates topsoil, could that reflect large amounts of vegetation and mulch that were in the ditch that washed down as a result of the September 9 storm? Nothing else, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Biela. Any further questions? Mr. Gruen, did you have anything further?
I'm just trying to get the microphone on here. No, Your Honor.
Any further questions, Mr. Moss? Thank you, Mr. Moss. Mr. Gruen.
Your Honor, subject to recall, that concludes the staff's case in chief.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a recess for lunch about 11:45 to about 1:15. Do you have a short witness, Mr. Biela, that you can pretty much guarantee will be about one half hour?
30-minute witness?
Yes.
Well, our first witness will likely take longer than that.
You'd like to take that witness first? I mean, it's your game plan, so we'll certainly honor that, but if you want to take that witness first. I'm just wondering if there's a short witness that you're willing to take out of order. You don't have. I'm not requiring you to do that, but
can you just give me a minute or
sure.
two?
You having trouble getting on stage yet, too?
Yeah, it's on.
Yeah, I had trouble yesterday, too. I thought it was just my computer, but that explains my problem.
I was on for a little bit with VPN.
And this room's not exactly the best.
That well, though it's the best. And it's like a, it says actually like
on. Yep. That's exactly what mine was.
I got I'm fully connected. It's server.
Okay. That's good, because last night I got home and jumped right online at home, and I was like, what the heck's going on? I guess you get what you pay for. Oh. Yeah. I got a bust on Mike's chops up. So doesn't ask where he went to school. He's confused.
Yeah. I did write down a pretty funny little
in some circles, NDSU is considered to be the University of North Dakota. I let it slide.
Oh, excellent point.
I was thinking there's no wonder that the first NLB had the wrong location. Oh yeah, I mean it
doesn't bother me.
Wouldn't be the first time that's happened.
Yeah, we've done that a lot.
We're off the record right now. Mr. Biela, maybe if you don't have a problem interrupt, you know, taking a witness up to 11:45 and then zoom in after lunch, you can do that too.
Oh, you mean two of us?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't care.
I don't mind.
I'm just telling you, we're breaking at 11:45 until 1:15.
Well, we're just discussing it, but I think there's a good chance we could dispose of one witness in the half hour.
Okay.
That's.
Don't mess up here.
Okay. Right.
We don't want to compromise
yeah,
your case.
I don't want to compromise you in any way. But.
Right. I understand. If you could just give me another couple minutes. Thank you.
I'm going to use the restroom, Judge. Is that okay?
Yeah. You'll be back in a few seconds.
You know, the thing with that, there was some feedback. Did you hear the feedback that came in? I don't know if that has to do with the volume or if it was something else going on.
No, I think that was the volume.
Okay.
When I checked it, Steve had elevated it to.
Oh, okay.
So, do we have to worry about the ball burning?
He was trying to accommodate that, I suspect. The problem is you that is, they say, what I wanted to avoid was, the inevitable outrageous feedback. That was seemed to be on the brink of possibility there for a while. Because then we are.
That's painful.
That's painful.
Yeah, no, Steve was monkeying around.
Oh, okay. Well, that, I was kind of. Yeah, clearly it was a lot hotter than when you recessed.
Yeah, I could. It was like right at the edge.
That's what I was worried about.
Comfortable. I'm like, that sound would give me instant headache.
How many of those things you got
hanging out? Just rotate through. I just pick very special occasions to bring up.
Yeah, like 4 out of 5 days a week.
Right. Steve is busy, so I have Paul running, so.
Oh, yeah. No worries.
That's always good.
Here we go. He's got the cords.
I probably got one.
He says that he doesn't know that these are active.
Oh.
They are. They're dry.
Good thing I got them. I've never used them.
Oh, they made them? Well, wasn't there a charge to it, maybe?
Oh.
Like a per month charge. And we decided we'd get a little
bit of it. Really?
Either you steal the stage net or the neighbors.
You need something there? Yeah?
No.
What are you smirking about?
Okay. I think we're ready to go back on the record. Mr. Biella, you come to a decision about how you want to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor. I guess initially we want to indicate, we had indicated we would call up to four witnesses, one of whom was going to be Terrence Schmidt. We have decided not to call him. And then as far as our first witness would be Bill Kirk, and I guess although we do anticipate his testimony will go for some time, we could maybe at least get some of the preliminaries out of the way.
Sure. So you're willing, we'll be taking a break in the middle, in other words, then.
Right.
Okay, sure. Mr. Kirk, please. Or you're up there. I'm sorry. You're up there, yeah. And before I swear you in, why don't you state your full name and spell it for the record, please.
William Kirk, WILLIAMKIRK.
Thank you. Is the green button on there or a blue one?
Blue button is on.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Kirk, I think you heard the admonition I gave earlier in regard to perjury.
Yes,
correct?
Your Honor.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter, being heard of so answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Biella, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. Again, please state your full name and business address.
My name is William Kirk. I work for the Coteau Properties Company, whose address is 204 County Road 15, Beulah, North Dakota.
And, Bill, what is your position with Coteau?
My position title is Staff Mining Engineer. I work in the Environmental Department.
And how long have you worked with Coteau?
I have worked for the Coteau Properties Company for 30 years.
And would you please describe your college education?
I graduated in 1975 from the University of Utah in Salt Lake City with a Bachelor of Science degree in Civil Engineering.
And do you hold professional recognitions or registrations?
Yes, I'm a licensed professional engineer in the states of North Dakota and Mississippi.
And could you briefly describe your professional experience as an engineer in the mining industry?
I began my employment with Coteau Properties in May of 1980. I was originally hired as a civil engineer for the Environmental Department in the Western Division office, which is located here in Bismarck. I worked out of that office for 10 years and was then transferred to the Freedom Mine in December of 1989. I was originally hired to design sedimentation ponds, diversions, and haul roads for North American Coal, for all three mines here in North Dakota, which would be the Freedom Mine, the Falkirk Mine, and the Indian Head Mine. I also conducted probable hydrologic consequences studies to include in permit applications. And once I got to Coteau, my duties expanded to include the administering and management of the surface water monitoring programs and the groundwater monitoring programs. And there's also some additional environmental duties that I carry out at the mine site.
I believe you have experience with the Air Force. Would you describe that?
Yes. Subsequent to graduating from college, I served as an officer in the U.S. Air Force for 4 years. I was stationed at Minot Air Force Base. I spent 1 year as a civil design engineer and 3 years as chief of construction management.
And I believe you also have some North Dakota State Water Commission experience. Would you describe that?
Yes. When I got out of the Air Force, I continued my employment with the North Dakota State Water Commission that was here in Bismarck, and I was employed there approximately 1 year as an investigations engineer. And that was to work with water resource boards to investigate potential projects that the state of North Dakota could perform in regards to water resources here in the state.
Okay. And were you present this morning during the testimony, Mr. Moles?
I was.
And there was a fair amount of discussion on sediment in the south side ditch and removal of that sedimentation. Now, is there a reason why that sedimentation wasn't removed after September 2nd?
After September 2nd, we had had a series of rainfall events. That sediment was very wet, as was the surrounding ground ditches. We were hesitant to put equipment down in there to remove that sediment because, in essence, that would also do damage to the vegetative cover that we were trying to establish on the inslopes and in the road ditches.
I guess, Your Honor, at this point we would just dive into our first exhibit. Is that acceptable?
Yes.
Bill, showing you what has been marked as Coteau Exhibit Number 1. Would you please identify it? Oh.
Exhibit Number 1 is a section from Revision Number 50 to Permit NACT 8102. And this section describes the design, construction, and maintenance of a new haul road that was to be constructed at the Freedom Mine. And we designated the haul road as the Mine Area 4 North Conveyor Haul Road.
And is this representative of the three permit revisions that were subject to this haul road?
Yes, it is. The haul road actually crossed three permit areas, and the materials that were submitted to the Public Service Commission for review were exactly the same for all three revisions.
Okay. And turning to page 2, there's some highlighted portions there. In the first paragraph with the highlights, would you please read what's highlighted?
Four culvert installations will be constructed to accommodate the drainage of surface water from and across the proposed haul road corridor. Peak flow determinations for the design of each culvert installation were calculated from a hydrology model created using TR20 software. Culvert installations are sized to pass the peak flow from the 10-year, 6-hour precipitation event using available head.
And the reference there to the 10-year, 6-hour precipitation event, is that pursuant to a PSC regulation?
That is. That is pursuant to a regulation in the roads section.
Okay. So when you, as a mining engineer, are designing haul roads, you design to that PSC precipitation event standard?
Yes. We use the 10-year, 6-hour precipitation event to design the drainage system for haul roads.
And then to the next paragraph with highlights, please read what's highlighted.
At the outlets of the four culvert installations, outfall treatments will be installed to prevent channel scour and erosion and to dissipate energy associated with erosive water velocities. Should site-specific conditions warrant, the segment of downstream channel into which the outfall treatment discharges will be protected with erosion control blanket subsequent to grading and seeding. Upon completion of haul road construction, the inslopes, backslopes, and ditch bottoms will be scarified, seeded, and mulched.
Okay. First of all, when it's referencing the four culvert installations, that includes the culvert, which is basically the subject of this NOV, is that correct?
That's correct. It was one of the four culvert installations on this Mine Area 4 North Conveyor Haul Road.
And now you state in there, should site-specific conditions warrant, the segment of downstream channel into which the outfall treatment discharges will be protected with erosion control blanket subsequent to grading and seeding. When you refer to outfall, are you referring to the south side, the of this culvert?
Yes, the downstream ends of the culvert.
Okay. And then you go on to state, upon completion of hollow construction, the inslopes, back slopes, and ditch bottoms will be scarified, seeded, and mulched. Now, with respect to the north ditch, which is the subject of this NOV, is that what was done?
That was what was done for the North Hall Road ditch, yes.
And then to the next paragraph with highlights, would you please read what's highlighted?
These culvert installations will also be equipped with best management practice controls. Structures and materials utilized for this purpose include straw bale dikes, silt fences, geo-ridge installations, shallow sumps, erosion control blankets, rock riprap, and articulated concrete mats. These structures and materials may be used individually or may be used in combination at each outfall.
So again, this reference is to what you would like, what you may do at the outfall of the culvert. Is that correct?
That is correct. What we may use at the outfalls of the culverts.
Okay. Now, is it a best management practice by seeding of grass followed by mulching and crimping to establish a vegetative cover?
Yes.
Next showing you has been marked as Coteau Exhibit Number 2. Would you please identify this document?
Exhibit Number 2 is a letter written to Mr. Joe Friedlander, Environmental Manager at the Coteau Properties Company, dated March 10, 2009, informing the Coteau Properties Company that revision number 50 to permit 8102 has been approved.
So this was approving the revision which we just reviewed, our Exhibit 1.
That's correct.
And were any conditions associated with this approval?
If you look at the second page of Exhibit Number 2, there were no conditions attached to that.
Next, showing you Exhibit 3, would you please identify this document?
Exhibit Number 3 is Notice of Violation, NOV 1004, issued to the Coteau Properties Company. The date is October 4th, 2010.
And it is stated therein that Coteau failed to install appropriate measures to control or prevent erosion and siltation. Do you agree with that statement?
No, I don't.
Well, showing you has been marked as Coteau Exhibit Number 4, being PSC Regulation 69-05.2-24-03. Would you please identify this regulation?
This regulation comes from the North Dakota Administrative Code regarding surface coal mining regulations, and it deals with roads, specifically the design and construction of primary roads.
And referring on the second page of that exhibit, would you please read what's highlighted in yellow?
In accordance with the approved plan, all primary roads must be constructed or reconstructed and maintained to have adequate drainage control using structures such as bridges, ditches, cross drains, and ditch relief drains. The drainage control system must be designed to safely pass the peak runoff from a 10-year, 6-hour precipitation event or greater event as specified by the commission.
And was this a regulation pursuant to which you designed and then Coteau ultimately constructed this haul road and this ditch?
Yes, it is.
And it also says in there, or greater event as specified by the commission. Has the commission specified a greater event?
No, sir, they haven't.
Showing you what has been marked as Coteau Exhibit Number 5, would you please describe this exhibit?
Exhibit Number 5 is an internal office correspondence written by Jessica Unruh to Joe Friedlander. and it is in regards to the results of a vegetation cover survey that was conducted on October 1st, 2010, in the area of the NOV.
So this study would have been completed subsequent to the rainfall events of September 6 through 9?
That's correct.
And this was conducted before any NOV was issued in this case, would that be correct?
That's also correct. The NOV was issued on October 4th.
And what was the purpose of this survey?
The purpose of this survey was to determine the vegetative cover on the in slopes, the remainder, the undisturbed portions of the ditch bottom, and the back slopes of the north ditch of the Hall Road.
So this is specific to the north ditch?
Yes, it is.
After the September 6 through 9 rainfall events?
Yes.
And what are the results of this survey?
The results of this survey indicated that total basal cover was measured at 77.9%.
And describe the significance of that figure.
The significance of that relates to a quantitative standard that has been used by the industry to establish erosion, a measurement of erosion control.
Okay.
That quantitative standard is found in memo number 19.
So it's the same procedure that PSC specifies and accepts for ground cover measurement?
Yes, it is.
And again, what does this mean, basal cover measured at 77.9% in terms of ground cover, which remained after the September 6 through 9 rainfall events?
What it indicates is that 77.9% of the points that were used by the point frame method contacted either live herbaceous cover, litter, or rock.
Is the 77.9% considered a good result?
It is, especially for a ditch that has only been, it's only been seeded for a year. It's only been through one growing season.
Taking one exhibit just slightly out of order, I would like to refer you to exhibit number 7. Would you please identify this exhibit? Number 7. Should have the number.
Yep. I've got 6 and 8. I have no 7. Oh, excuse me, here we go. I'm sorry. Exhibit number 7 is policy memorandum number 19 to mine operators. It's a document that is issued by the Reclamation Division of the Public Service Commission to all mine operators and the Lignite Energy Council.
Is this the policy procedure that the PSC has specified for mine operators?
Yes, this is this policy memorandum provides guidelines to mine operators for removing sediment ponds and pond site reclamation.
And what is the standard established by this policy?
On page 2 of the policy, under item number 2, it sets I'll just read the sentence here, as an alternative to a visual assessment, the operator may submit data to document a minimum of 73% live basal cover and litter cover or 83% first hit cover.
So how does this standard compare to the results of Coteau's vegetative cover survey after the rainfall events?
Policy memorandum number 19 for basal cover sets a standard of 73%. From Jessica's memo, the result of the on-ground survey taken after the September 9th storm was 77.9%. So it is in excess of the 73%.
And is this indicative that there was still a substantial vegetative cover after September 9 rainfall event?
It does.
And I understand this standard can also be applied for reclaimed land. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is it a good place to stop?
I think it's a good place to stop.
Okay. Let's take a recess till 1:15. We'll start promptly at 1:15.